Guys, once every couple months, we love to do a Q&A, which is just, we've let you guys ask some questions, and we just want to answer them and just talk with you guys a little bit. Could I have Katie, Doc Scott, and then we'll have Rachel up here too. Let's bring up a couple leaders, and then we'll just go through some of the questions that you guys have. We'll do that. I already have the questions up here. Ooh, here, Doc Scott and Rachel, I'll give you guys. There you go. Guys, Q&As are always some of my most, I think the most fun weeks and the weeks I like the most, just because I want you guys to hear from people that aren't just me. I want you guys to hear from other people. Ooh, if it's up, I think it should be on. And let's see, we'll just kind of, we'll take some time and introduce each of the people up here. Doc, can you start with us of just like how long you've been in junior high, what you do, and what small group you're a part of, and anything else?
Yeah, so you guys know that, you know, if you don't pass your grade, you have to stay and repeat it. And so I've been repeating like eighth grade like for 25 years. So it's really, really is not good. But no, I'm kidding. I've been here for quite a while. Yeah, I'm in the Santa Clarita small group, and thank you very much.
It's a good one.
Yeah, and what was any other questions you had?
That's about it. Anything else? Yeah.
Yep.
I'm Rachel, and I've been here 5 years, and I'm in Santa Clarita as well. I was talking to your wife when you were talking.
So. Ah, you're good. That's perfect.
I'm Katie. I've been here for 10 years. And I'm also in Santa Clarita.
It was unintentional that we have all SCV staff up here. I promise East and West Valley, we will get your leaders up here eventually. Guys, just I think a couple questions that we have, and I think one that I'd love to start with. This one also has a plane drawn on it, so I like that. If you could go to one place outside of the country, where would it be? Katie, can we start with you on that?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
My answer for a long time was Italy, but we just went. Mm. I want to see Scotland. Family history there. It looks pretty. A Highland cow sounds cute. Mm. So Scotland would be my current answer.
I love it.
I think Greece. I've been there for like a day, literally only a day, and so I'd like to go back and see more of it.
I'm with KD. I've never been to Scotland, and that's kind of my background. So, and my wife Cammie's background. So, we would definitely want to visit there.
I like that. I think for me, wow, outside of the country, I'd love to go spend some more time in Europe. I think like Germany or Spain or Portugal would be a ton of fun. But generally, I think Europe would be really fun to go see some more of it. Let's go next question. Something a little bit more serious. Doc, we'll start with you. What are some verses to help with feeling anger and jealousy at someone else?
Well, there's a lot of the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that. Let's see. Yeah, I was just reading one this week when I was reading my Bible. Let's see. Okay. That was good.
Katie or Rachel,
you guys jump in.
You guys have one off the rip.
You said jealousy and anger.
Yeah, jealousy and anger.
Well, Katie and I both went to Colossians 3, so I'll take it first then. But Colossians 3 is full of really practical wisdom. We learn a lot about who we are in Christ in the first half of the book, and then Colossians 3 especially starts off with that, who we are in Christ and what our future is with him. And then there's a lot of instructions that we have about how we are to live in light of that. So that's the root of really any struggle with sin like that. We need to remember who we are in Christ, who he's created us to be, how he's transformed our life if we're Christians. Mm. But some of the effects of that, verse 12, I think, is a good place to start. So put on then as God's chosen ones, again, that reminder of who you are in Christ, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. There's more that's helpful there too, but the idea of unity and love and kindness towards others, oftentimes with anger, it's a lack of patience towards others. So that's a good verse if you're struggling in that area to have memorized, so you remember all these things that you're called to put on because you are God's chosen person.
Yeah, and actually Psalm 4 is what I was thinking of, and it's a prayer of David, and he says, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." So first, starting off, you know, when you are tempted to be angry, you're tempted to not forgive, you're tempted to sin, the first place to go is prayer. And then it says, "Tremble and do not sin. Meditate on your heart upon your bed and be still." Mm-hmm. So basically it's saying fear God, and because you know that if you're a Christian, that you belong to Christ and that you want to be obedient to him, that you don't want to sin. So that's what the trembling part is, you know, be, you know, in a sense, be, have holy honor unto God. And so realizing you don't want to sin, you want to be obedient. And then also, you know, thinking about the scriptures and so that when you are in a stressful or difficult situation, that the Lord will bring those scriptures to mind so that you should be also trying to memorize. And then it says, many are saying, "Who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O God. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For thou alone, O Lord, has made me to dwell in safety." So, you know, it's trusting God in every life situation, you know, even when you're upset or angry. And if it turns into sin, you know, confess your sins. Because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I think on the jealousy side, jealousy often comes from a lack of contentment and a poor understanding of God's providence, wanting what someone else has without appreciation for the abundance of what the Lord has provided. So I think of Philippians 4. I love how Paul puts this. He says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." It's not that he just is perfectly content, but he has learned to be content in every situation. And to Doc and Rachel's point, you go to the Lord in prayer. And then in verse 19, it says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And I think there was a sermon in Big Church earlier this year, and everything you have, you need. And if you don't have it, you don't need it. And I think remembering that God gives you exactly what you need when you need it, and we have to just learn to trust in that. And it, like Paul said, it's not something we're naturally good at. It's something we learn. Mm. And you learn it by depending on the Lord and knowing who God is. And when you know who God is, we grow content because we can see the mercies in our life. So I think that's on the jealousy side. I think similar to anger, anger typically also comes from a place of discontentment. And the response is, I don't understand who I am before God. Because if I understand who I am before God, what do I have to be angry about if I'm saved? If you're not saved, you need Jesus first, and then you need contentment. But that's where I would go.
Yeah, I like all of those. I think that anger is me thinking that I deserve something better than what I have, And jealousy is seeing someone else that has something that I want and says, I think I deserve that. And for me, just descriptions of people in the Bible that had hard lives is really helpful for me. And I think the picture of Jesus is the best. I think of Philippians 2, 7 through 8, that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a slave, by being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of men, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross. And that Jesus is God and suffered. And he never said, I should be getting this. I want what someone else had. Christ is the perfect example of living that out. I think that for me is the balm, or that soothes my heart just when I'm wanting to feel angry or be jealous.
Yeah, and just one other thing is, too, that being jealous isn't being loving. Hmm. And there's two aspects to jealousy. There's wanting what the other person has, and you don't have it, and so, you know, you're upset. The thing that's actually worse is not only wanting what they have, but wishing they didn't have it. That's even worse. But in 1 Corinthians 13, you guys know it, the love chapter about love is patient and kind, but it says, and love is not jealous. And so, you know, that's what the Lord does not want us to be jealous.
I love that. Thanks, Doc. Rachel, next one, I think we'll start with you. Just what advice would you give to a younger Christian trying to think about how to live for Jesus?
It's Colossians 3 band now. I think even just how we started this, like, you're fighting sin, you need God's word. And we kind of talked about it in small groups on Wednesday, but a new Christian, sorry, can you repeat the question?
Just advice you would give to just a younger Christian.
A younger Christian, okay. Yeah, we talked about it in small groups of how valuable it is to form a habit of reading God's word young. I know in my own experience, I don't know what I missed sitting in this room and sitting in main service for my entire life, but I just didn't see reading the Bible as something that I needed to do every day or even regularly on my own. And again, now I'm like, we say that all the time. So if you haven't heard that yet, read the Bible. And that'll help you grow as a new Christian, because any sin you want to fight, any growth that's going to happen is going to come from your understanding of God's word and the Spirit's work in your life to apply it. So just like practically, you know, making time for God's word, and it doesn't have to look like what a pastor's study of the word looks like. Especially starting out young, if you're just reading your Bible at all, like, that's a great first step, and you want to grow in, consistency with it and, you know, depth of study, like asking good questions about it or making sure you understand what you're reading. But I think that's going to be the starting point for any other area of growth that you want in your life is reading God's word. And I think especially young, it's easier now. I know that's maybe hard to hear when you're starting school and you have a new grade and a bunch of classes and extracurriculars and there's a lot going on. But it'll be easier for you to make that time now than it will in really any other time of your life. Mm. It gets harder when you're in high school. It gets harder when you're in college. It gets harder when you have a family or when you have a job or whatever else that comes in life. So if you can lock that habit in now and just have that be something that is important to you, is a priority for you, is something you put effort into, that'll serve you for the rest of your life. And that'll be the means that you grow when you're an older Christian too. It's not going to change. You're always going to be diving into the word to understand who God is and letting his Spirit grow you in that way too. So,
yeah, I think I would echo what Rachel said. Maybe just adding in, it's okay to start small. I love that we're going through Spiritual Bootcamp. It's a book that I've referenced a lot. It's just talking, we talked this last Wednesday about reading your Bible, learning how to pray. We're going to talk about how to evangelize, how to get involved in church. One of the things in Spiritual Bootcamp that it talks about in reading your Bible is repetition. And Adam talked about this on Wednesday. But I talk to my girls a lot about start with a book. He said read 1 John or the book of John. And 1 John has 5 chapters. So read a chapter every day, just one chapter. Commit to 10 minutes of your day and finding a time that works for you. I'm a morning reader. I like to read in the morning. It's when my brain is working. I like it before work. I have friends that read in the afternoon. They read at lunch or they read at night. The Lord does not have a preference as to when you read. It's the commitment to read. And I love, speaking of 1 John, for a new believer, this is what defines you. It says, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is the commandment, what we believe, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us and by the Spirit whom he has given us. If you love God, you obey his commandments. And everything is in here. So for a young believer, I would say just build the habit of depending on God. When things are good, read your Bible. When things are hard, read your Bible. Because you've been given the Spirit who will help you do that. It's not something you can do on your own. You can't just will it into existence. You have to depend on the Lord and you have to ask the Holy Spirit to work in you, to even grow your desire. You can pray. Good advice I got was pray until you pray and read until you read. And that means, I'm sure you've all read a page for school or in your Bible or for a friend, and you read the page and you go, I don't know what I just read. Read it again so that you, until you actually are understanding it. But it's okay to start small. To build good habits, because like Rachel said, it only gets harder as you get older. So build good habits now. I, like Rachel, grew up sitting in this basement, and I wish I had built the habit sooner. So start small. It's okay to commit to 10 minutes. Ask your parents to hold you accountable. They'll fall out of their chair, and then they'll say, yes, of course. I would love to do that for you. But yeah, start small. It's okay, because and rely on the Lord, because it's not something you can do on your own. But yeah, I think just start small, but be faithful.
Yeah, I would agree with that totally. And there's a thing that I've been saying for many years. It's kind of a funny saying, but it's like the soft drink 7-Up, you know, lemon lime carbonated beverage. But it's called 7-Up. And so for the first 7 minutes, have your Bible next to your bed by your nightstand. The first 7 minutes when you get up in the morning, have a plan that you want to read something from God's Word for at least 7 minutes. Mm. Okay, and just get in the habit of doing that every day. 7-Up, 7-Up, 7-Up. And pretty soon you're going to start loving God's Word, and it's going to turn into 10-Up, and then it's going to be 15-Up, and then it's going to be, I want to do it later in the day, it'll be 20, or whatever it is. But but as Katie said, start small, but get in a regular habit of reading your Bible. And it doesn't have to be actually when you wake up, but that's a good thing to get in the habit of doing that. Also, I just wanted to say that if you're a Christian, you belong to Christ now. You don't belong to the world anymore. So waking up every morning and praying a little prayer, saying, Lord, this day would you enable me to walk with you, to be obedient to you, and to be your child and follow you. And there's a couple of verses that that talk about that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And those new things are worshiping, loving God, praying, reading the Word, and doing the things that please God. Another verse kind of talks a little bit about that as well is Galatians 2:20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So just remembering each morning that you're bought with a price, Jesus died for you, and you now belong to him, and you are his disciple, and you want to follow him and be obedient to him each and every day.
Mm. I love that. Thanks, guys. I think for me, guys, that this is something that I think is really helpful for you, and it's something that I have to tell myself every week, that Christ, as he looks at my life, isn't expecting me to be perfect, but he's expecting me to be continually pointing to him. Or Christ isn't expecting perfection, but he's expecting you to be looking in the right direction. If you don't know what to do, read your Bible. If you don't know what to do, pray to the Lord and ask for help. If you're having something hard in life and you don't know what to do, we're currently teaching through the book of Matthew here in junior high, and I was reading Matthew 10 this week. Matthew 10:20 talks about when you speak and you don't know what to say, it's okay. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the words to say. When you're going through something hard and you don't know what to do, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is going to help you, and he's going to be there. So if you're a new believer, keep going to God. He's going to help you because he loves you. But I think that's a great question, and I loved your guys' answers. Something just a little bit different. Doc, we'll start with you. Tell us a little story about one of your favorite childhood memories.
That was a long time ago for me. But
10 years ago, 20 years ago?
Yeah, a little bit more than that. Childhood memories, man. So when you're really little, there's a certain point in your life when you start remembering things, maybe age 3, you know, and pretty much everything before that, you know, you're, you know, baby and you kind of don't remember things, but maybe age 3. And I remember coming out Christmas morning, and I had an older brother who was just a little bit more than a year older than me. And so we were pretty similar age. And I must have been 3 years old. And there were matching tricycles, and they had these chimpanzee stuffed animals sitting on them, and they were pretty big because they actually fit on the tricycle. But I remember that was kind of a fun memory. My brother and I were pretty stoked about that.
I feel like your whole child, like it's someone asks you your favorite book, and you think, I've never read a book in my whole life. I don't know. I have a lot of siblings. I have 3 sisters and a brother, and I think a lot of my sweet memories are just with my sisters. So many different memories. But we shared a room for a really long time, all 4 of us girls. And we were just talking about it. So I think right now that's what I've been thinking about. It's just my parents' increasingly impressive patience for putting all 4 girls in one room, and just the memories of getting to live together, and now we all live in different places. But yeah, I think just having a lot of siblings, I know right now your siblings drive you nuts and they're your ultimate patience testers, but I promise you'll look back and think, oh, that was so fun when we all got to live together, and then you'll like them and they become your friends. And I know that's very hard to believe right now, but be nice to them because they get better. You get better with age, but so do they. They'll all like each other a little bit more. But I think, yeah, all my childhood memories are with my sisters, and then my brother came along later, so I like him. I like him a lot, but all those fun years.
Yeah, I shared a room with my sister as well. One memory that came to mind is when we first got our dog, and I was like 10, though. I was older, but we had like 2 names picked out. And my dad went to pick her up from somewhere far away, and he brought her home. And like my sister and I were like looking at the dog, and we looked up at each other and we're like, Bailey. Like we both just agreed on the name right in that moment, which is so rare with your sibling to agree on anything. So yeah, and then Bailey was our childhood dog.
I love it. For me, I grew up, I love doing things outside. And my dad and I would build model rockets, like the Estes model rocket. Like you buy it, the kit, you put it together, then you put a little motor in it, and then you launch it up in the air. And as a kid, that was just the absolute coolest thing. I remember we had ones that went hundreds of feet up in the air, and we would go out just to a big open field, and then you would launch it. It would get all, like, go up hundreds of feet, and then the top would pop off, and it would have a parachute, and I would try to run after it and catch it before it hit the ground. And just as a kid, I could do that all day long. It was so much fun. And I remember one time a rocket went up, and I was chasing after it as hard as I could, looking at the rocket, and I wasn't looking at the ground in front of me, and there was a hole, and I just full speed just ate it right in the hole. And I was maybe like 100 yards away, so I was a football field away from my dad, and it sounded like he was standing right next to me with how hard he laughed. And so I just, stuff like that, like stuff outside and stuff with your family, I think is just some of the most fun things I remember from being a kid. But yeah, you guys should definitely launch Mondo Rockets. It's a, it is a ton of fun. Katie, we'll start with you on this one. Just what are some ways that a junior hire can love and obey their parents?
I think my mind goes really practical. I think a couple things is that the way the Bible talks about honoring your parents is very serious. And that if, especially if you're a believer, this is a really practical way for you to show your siblings, your parents, your friends that you love the Lord and your heart has been changed is by honoring your parents. I think you guys are at an age where at this point you know your parents' expectations pretty well. You know how they expect your room to be. They know when you're supposed to, you know when you're supposed to be somewhere. You know what the standard is. Do it without them asking. I think that's a really just practical way to honor them, to honor the way that they want their home to function, and to do it with a joyful heart. Did your parents, maybe less now, but when you were small, always tell you to do it with a happy heart? You have to honor your parents with a happy heart at every age. And there's no qualifier on honoring your parents. It's not if you like what they say. Honor your parents if you like what they say. Honor your parents if they're easy to get along with. Honor your parents if they're together. Some of you may come from broken homes. There's no qualifier if your parents are saved. There's no exception to honoring your parents. It's actually just honor your parents for this is right before the Lord. And you can do that really practically at your age. Your opportunity to honor and obey your parents is all day, every day, especially for those of you that are homeschooled. You have an opportunity to really love them and to honor the Lord by just obeying and being a joy to be around, be easy to be around. I think, gosh, I'm trying to think of a verse, but I had to go first, so my brain just went into practical. But I really think a lot of the things we talked about, if you're a believer and you're seeking, if you're not a believer, honor your parents. That's still the standard that is held in your home because your parents love you enough to bring you here. So respect that. Honor them by how you talk about them when they're not around. Honor them by being helpful with your siblings. There's a lot of really practical things. It's not just obeying your parents, although that is really important and that is absolutely something you should do, but respect your parents when they're not around, I think is something I would challenge you with, is that don't go to your friends and say, ugh, my mom's the worst. She expects me to make my bed in the first 5 minutes of the day. I promise that's a good life habit you should commit to anyway. But beyond that, God chose your parents and that's providential. It's sovereign. It's this perfect choice. And there may be days where you don't agree with that choice. And that doesn't matter because God picked you to be their kid and for them to be your parents. And they love you so much. So just honor how you talk about them. Speak kindly of your parents. And then just help in ways you can. You know the standard. Help out. Put your shoes away. Put your dishes in the sink or do the dishes, even better. Whatever that you're expected to do. But I think the one I would, if someone had told me at my age, I wish they'd said, honor your parents by not speaking poorly of them in any light. And I think that's true of a lot of situations, but it's a great way to honor the parents God gave you.
The Bible is full of information, advice, and commandments and that for all of us and for young people too, like you guys. But one thing that's one of the most direct things for you to pay attention to is from the book of Ephesians chapter 6, because it directly applies to you guys. It says, children, number one, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So it's exactly summarizes exactly everything that Katie just said. You know, it's honoring them, obeying them, And that's really important. And the other thing is, one way to do that too is by listening to them. So the book of Proverbs, there's a number of different places where it talks about listening. So like in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "My son," and this also could apply to daughters too, "do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." And then he kind of goes from there. And then, and also even in chapter 2, it says, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding." And so basically, your parents have, they've been believers longer than you, they've been reading their Bibles longer than you, they know more about God than you, they know more about the scriptures than you do. And when they're trying to teach you, instruct you, correct you, help you, guide you, you know, it would really be a good idea to listen to them, you know, and don't, you know, the fool, you know, doesn't listen to wisdom. They don't listen to guidance. They don't listen to understanding. They reject it, and they're wise in their own eyes, which means I know everything, and I don't need you to tell me anything. But we really do, especially when we're young. Actually, our whole lives, we need that. But especially when you're young, you need to listen to those who would give you wise counsel and wise advice, and because it'll keep you from having a lot of pain in your life by doing silly and stupid things and paying the consequences for them.
Hmm. Yeah, I was going to say that same thing just practically from my own life. Of it's about this age, I think, when you start apologizing to your mom for all the things you didn't listen to her about and realizing that she was totally right. And it's, I feel so bad every time I have to say, "Mom, like, you were totally right about this. I wish I had listened. I know you said this to me, and I just ignored it." So that's a big part of my own testimony. But like Doc was saying, the Proverbs especially are just full of the benefits of wisdom in general and the benefits of listening to the wisdom of your parents. Chapter 4 talks about that too. "Hear, my son, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live.'" And you'll notice there's a few benefits listed in that of just your life being characterized by wisdom and just even having life in general. There's so much wisdom in your parents that it's easy to ignore and just think that you know better because you know a lot right now, especially to yourself. You know a lot in your own eyes. But your parents know, they're not perfect, but they know so much more about life in general, and they're doing this out of love for you and love for the Lord. So everything they're telling you to do or not do is coming from a genuine desire to care for you, that you would prosper, that you would know the Lord, that you would grow, that you would be safe, all those things. And so one way to honor them is just to believe that about them, to believe that they care about you. And that's where these rules or whatever else are coming from, even when you don't understand them.
Yeah, I agree. I love all of that. Doc hit on the one thing that I was thinking about, that I think of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and verse 12, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which Yahweh your God has given you." That out of all Ten Commandments, which 9 out of the 10, if you don't do, that God told Israel to kill that person. Honoring your parents is one of those. If a kid would hit their parents or curse their parents, that was worthy of a death penalty. Like, the Lord wants us not to just not hit or not curse our parents. He wants us to love them and to put them before ourselves and for us to be actively thinking of ways that we could serve and obey them. And God wants us to do that not because he just likes kids to not have fun. He does that because he says, you doing that is going to set you up well for life. It's going to teach you just how the world is. It's going to teach you how you should love others, how you should think about others. If you obey your parents, that is going to bless you. Not only is that going to give you more days, but it is going to give you fuller days. It is going to give you days that are blessed and days that are without pain. So I love that.
Yeah, and just one other thing from Proverbs. It also says, it's not just the fathers. It says, and do not forsake your mother's teaching.
Yeah.
And because your mom is there with you more even than your dad, because he's working during the day. And so when he comes home, he's there to help and teach you and guide you, but your mom's with you all day long. So, you know, don't forsake your mother's teaching and her wisdom. That's the same.
Yeah, I love that. We got just a couple more minutes, so we'll do this question just for Doc. But Doc, I know you have seen so many groups of junior hires come through. Just especially as we have some new sixth graders, like, what do you think are some things that they can be thinking and they can be doing just to get the most out of junior high?
Yeah, well, one thing is to be all in. And by that, I mean, when it's time to play a game, don't be shy. Don't lag behind. Don't sit on the outskirts here. But, you know, totally engage. Totally do the game. You know, when they ask for volunteers, you know, for games and stuff, make sure that you do raise your hand and you do want to participate. Another thing is, that's really important, is just be here. You know, be here as much as you can so that you can be exposed to God's word, that you can fellowship with your friends, and that you also can, you know, have your leaders as models for you, and also people that care about you and want to answer your questions and care for you. You know, camps, all those things, that's really important. You know, another thing is when we sing, you know, when we sing and it's worship time, you know, we should all be all in about that too. You know, this is an opportunity to lift our hearts to Almighty God. So, you know, singing loud and singing enthusiastically. You know, the word enthusiastic, it means in God. So in the Theos. And so when you're enthusiastic and you're singing that way, you know, you're pleasing God, you know, by lifting up a sacrifice of praise to Him. So that's really important. In small groups, don't be afraid to speak up in small group and ask a question. If you don't understand something or you have another question that came up as you were reading your Bible or talking, you know, with your parents or your friends, bring it up. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to volunteer that question and that, and hopefully in time you guys will feel real comfortable here and you'll feel like you're really, it's your group, you know that you're taking ownership of it, because what you put into your junior high years is what you're really going to take from it. And so really take advantage of all the things that we have here to help you with your spiritual growth and just growing as a person. I mean, things like camps, you know, where you're living with a staff member for a couple of days. You know, they're going to try to guide you in terms of life lessons and those type of things as well.
I love that. Yeah, thank you so much for that, Doc. Yeah, junior high is a blessing. We love having you guys here, and we hope you guys have fun, and we hope you guys just learn a little bit more about Jesus and give your life over to Him. Well, guys, I'm going to close this in prayer, and then after I pray, just stay put for a second. I have a real quick announcement, but thank you guys so much for coming up here and being part of Q&A. I hope it was helpful for you guys, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that we can come to church and just have fun, play games, learn more about you. Father, just thank you so much for the staff that we have here, just men and women that love you and are living their lives for you. Father, I pray that you'd use junior high and especially just the questions we have today, just to open the eyes and ears and hearts of the junior hires here, that they may know you, that they may love you, and they may obey you. Your name. Amen.